So I'd like to turn you to turn to the book of Judges. Book of Judges is sometimes a discouraging book and sometimes a perplexing book. But the wonderful thing about it is there are people that shine out from it. It was a terrible time in the history of the people of God. And the basic thing is they all went, every man went after his own way and decided what he would do for himself and brought the country into terrible, people into terrible bondage and difficulty. And God was pleased to raise up a judge and deliver them. And as long as a judge lived, they stayed close to God. And then when the judge died, it all fell apart again. And you have the cycle of falling into terrible judgment and struggle, and then having a judge come and lift them again to a height. And they're there for a time, but as soon as the judge is gone, they're back down again. And there's struggle and difficulty, and that cycle's a discouraging one. The more so as we see it happening in our own lives, and the times we see that we have such incredible ups and downs. The life as a Christian is always what C.S. Lewis calls undulation. You're never just always there where you should be with God. There's always an undulation in a Christian life. It never stays as high as you want it to be. But for some, the undulation is like this. And it's dreadful. Our hope as Christians, the best we can do is get the undulation just sort of gentle so that we find ourselves straying and get back. And with this time in history, the undulation between being close to God and being very far from Him was discouraging. And when that occurs in our life, it's discouraging too. So we're looking at a time, we're not really looking at a very long section. In fact, we're looking at a very short section that you read before because you've read the book of Judges. But you probably didn't stop and think about Aksa. And we really want to look at a woman tonight. We want to look at Aksa. And I know that Aksa is not known as a great woman of God. But I think she's a shining example. And I think it's worthwhile to look at her. And God thought it was worthwhile to record details of her little life. And if God thought it was worthwhile to record details of her little life, then it's well for us to look at her little life and see how Aksa was a woman of God. It seems so to me, at least. So I'd like to look at the passage. It's in Judges chapter 1, and we're reading verses 11 to 15, and we're focusing really upon Aksa. Judges chapter 1, verses 11 to 15. From there they advanced against the people living in Debir, formerly called Kiriath Sefer. And Caleb said, I will give my daughter Aksa in marriage to the man who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer. Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. So Caleb gave his daughter Aksa to him in marriage. One day when she came to Othniel, she urged him to ask her father for a field. When she got off her donkey, Caleb asked her, What can I do for you? She replied, Do me a special favor. Since you've given me land in the Negev, give me also springs of water. Then Caleb gave her the upper and the lower springs. That's our focus of attention tonight. Seems to me there's some wonderful qualities that Aksa shows. So we want to first of all look at this woman, what we're given about her in this passage, then look at the blessing that God gave, then look at her husband, and I think we might end by a little bit of spiritualizing of the text. But I do want to look at what the text says and admire the woman that God showed us something of. And I think that after doing all that, the little bit of spiritualizing might be a blessing to our hearts. We won't depart from anything God says in His Word, but we might say more than exactly is said in the passage. At least that's our goal. Look at this woman, look at the blessing God gave, look at her husband, and then some fun with it. I think. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Dear God, we know that you are very much concerned for little people. We are entirely insignificant except to our families. And the things we do have nothing to do with the overall movement of the kingdom of God in a broad and deep and grand sense. But you care about us, and you are using us in the place of our dwelling, and you have purposed the exact time and place for us to live. And you've shown us personally how much you care about us and our lives, and how much you desire that our lives be a testimony to the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray you'll help us as we consider this passage that we've read over and never seen any particular significance. People could look over our lives, Lord, and never see any significance. And yet they are significant, because you have undertaken for us. Bless us as we think about this tonight. Help us to appreciate the things that are revealed. And grant us grace to draw near in all these things to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray your blessing, your help, that Jesus, you would use your word in our hearts tonight. We pray for your name's sake. Amen. I'd like to look at Acts first, because there's some wonderful qualities that we can either see exactly or we can assume about this young lady. She came from a good family. She was a good Christian, in a good Christian family. Remember who Caleb was. Of the spies that had gone into the promised land, 12 of them, only 2, encouraged the people of God to follow God and to enter the promised land, and that they could conquer this people with the help that God supplied. And there, I can't say there was Acts at that time, because they were 40 years in the wilderness. She must have been born during that time. She's going to be married. She probably was born during the time that they're in the wilderness, but she'd heard the story. And she struggled with the people in the wilderness, and she saw the place her father had steadily carrying on, watching him as he steadily served the Lord. Caleb is not a terribly important person in the wilderness wanderings. Joshua is important. Moses, very important. Joshua is more important later. Caleb's there, always there. What a blessing to come from a family when the dad is there, always there, pressing on, continuing. Whether he gets attention or not, he continues in the things of God. And Caleb has done that. And Caleb is one of the 2 that enter the promised land. And now through all the battles, Caleb's still there. They're conquering, they're accomplishing the mission there. And somehow during that time, Aksa was born. And Aksa came from a good Christian home. Caleb looked to the Lord Jesus Christ for comfort and help and blessing, not knowing his name, knowing it was the deliverer that God would bring, being part of that family that looked forward, that family of God looking forward to the Redeemer that God would bring, trusting in him, believing in his power. Caleb was a man to be admired, and Aksa grew up in that context. Wonderful, wonderful privilege that she had. She grew up in a good Christian home. She was also submissive to her father. I'll mention something else about this in a moment, but it's obvious there that her father set the terms on which she would be married, and she was married on those terms. And we'll look in a moment at what it says about Aksa with regard to that, but of course we don't want to superimpose modern values and gender relationships upon that time. Things were different, but she still was human. She still was a woman. She still had the hopes and desires that a woman has. She wasn't some kind of a zombie, because women were not considered terribly crucial in terms of the ordering of the land, although their influence comes up pretty often in the Old Testament in wonderful ways. But she wasn't a nobody. She was a person. She loved her dad. And she listened to her. She had her dad bargain her off as he was inspiring this gang of young men to conquer this city. But she accepted that. She was submissive. Submissive to her father. That's a wonderful thing that I think I want to say one more thing about. She's also submissive to her husband. Look at verse 14. One day she came to Othniel. This is the man she married. She urged him to ask her father for a field. Now, she wasn't running things. She was conscious. She was submissive to her husband, but she contributed something wonderful. She advised him in some important ways. You know, the ideal woman that we find in the book of Proverbs is a woman that considers a field and buys it. So obviously she's got some perception, she's got some wisdom, she can make some decisions, and she can evaluate what's a good move. This woman has it. She encourages her husband, let's seek to accomplish this. but she's submissive to her husband. She goes to him. She doesn't act like she's running the show. She goes to her husband. There's submission to her father in accepting that, and then submissive to her husband. She sees something should be done. She goes to her husband and says, let's do this. She's a woman that does her husband good, and she's a wonderful example, it seems to me, in that. She's submissive to her husband. She's also personally resourceful. She sees an opportunity. Again, 14, one day she came to Othniel. She urged him to ask her father for a field. So she's resourceful. She's personally resourceful. She thinks, hey, this would be good. Othniel, and she brings up to him what she thinks would be a good idea. What a wonderful example of a woman who is somebody. It's true she's been bartered off into a marriage situation. That's demeaning in some way. She didn't see it that way. She is somebody, and she uses her resources to help her husband, to help her family. I think it's beautiful to see that God has shown that little aspect of her life. Personally resourceful, and she has a friendly appeal. She must have been a neat personality, because when she gets an opportunity to ask her dad herself, now she's advised her husband, let's ask him, go ask him this. But then, lo and behold, she gets the opportunity to ask. So what does she do? Notice it's she that asks this thing. One day she came to Othniel. She urged him to ask her father for a field. When she got off her donkey, Caleb asked her, what can I do for you? So the opportunity came to her, and she's quick enough to pick it up. It's neat. She's going through the proper channels, urging her father, her husband, to make the appeal to her father. But it happens when she gets off her donkey, her father asks her. So she tells him. Just wonderful how she picks it up in a very friendly sort of way. Look at the way she says, when she got killed, what can I do for you? She replied, and I love the way in which she replies. She said, do me a special favor. Since you've given the land in the Negev, give me also springs of water. She takes the fact that he's been kind in the past, and she's got a very friendly relationship. She says, do me a favor. Now, somebody that comes to you and says, do me a favor, you've got a good relationship with them. Somebody you don't have a good relationship with saying, I think that there's reason to think you should be doing this, and so you're rather formal in laying out what they ought to do because they owe you that, and if it comes to a legal sort of thing, you're very formal in the way you make demands of other people. But you, when you're coming to a person that you care about and you've got a relaxed attitude toward them, you can say to them, do me a favor. And it's wonderful when somebody comes to you and says, do me a favor. Because you know they've got a relationship with you that could be that friendly. They'd come up and say, do me a favor. That's a wonderful relationship to have. If you've got a relationship with anybody that you can come to say, do me a favor, and they want to do it, what a beautiful thing that is. I've seen a lot of that over the years in this place. Where something needs doing, and somebody says to somebody, do me a favor, and they're there, and they do it, and it works out. Well, that's neat to be able to say to somebody, do me a favor. And I'd say it says something about this lady. It says something about Aksa. It says something about Caleb as well. They've got a good father-daughter relationship. Maybe that's why this has hit me today. This is a father-daughter. I didn't plan a Father's Day message. I didn't even think about that as a Father's Day message. I think it is, isn't it? Wonder of wonders. Well, anyway, this girl has got a neat relationship with her dad. So she says to dad, do me a favor. Hey, you gave us this. Give us this. She sees how it goes with what she's got, and she supports her appeal by saying, since you do this, do this. And something, when somebody who you like does that, you're not offended by it. What you might do is do it for them. There's a relationship thing that's beautiful to see. Some of us just didn't have that relationship with our parents. Some of us just didn't have anybody that you could say, do me a favor, and ask something, and have any sense that it would be responded to in a positive way. Some of you maybe would never have come to your dad and say, do me a favor. Possible to be in that situation. Didn't have it. We'd rather ask mom for something than for dad. Well, that can be because relationships aren't always the way they were, but I appreciate Axa's relationship with her dad. She says, dad, do me a favor. You can do this, hey, do this. And Caleb does it. It's wonderful. So she gets well, even more than she asked for, because it says, she said, do me a special favor. Since you've given me the land of the Negev, give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper and the lower springs, whatever that meant. Now, I don't know what that meant, because I can't get back and study the geography of the land and the layout of that particular plot and what the upper springs are and what the lower springs are. I can't tell you that. And I would suspect if anybody did tell you that, what, he got it the same place I would get it if I got it. Make it up. No, we don't know what that was, but it's interesting to see this. She got it. He gave her the upper and the lower springs. Now, of course, in this whole situation, we don't want to superimpose modern gender responses to this girl's thinking. But it's got to have been a bit of an indignity. This is back a little bit to the decision to follow what your dad said. It's got to be a little bit of an indignity to be bartered off. I mean, she's a woman. She has concerns. She has a heart. She cares. She wants to love her husband. She wants to admire him. How important it is that a woman admire her husband. She wants to. She's a woman. And she wonders who will be chosen for her. And she's hoping that it won't be a match that's simply a matter of money or a matter of convenience, or she doesn't really want a political match of some kind to strengthen the overall family. She wants to be treated like a person. And she's bartered to a gang of valiant young men, but they are soldiers. A gang of valiant young men said, the one who takes, get your buddies, and the one who takes that gets my daughter. And there she is. She's the one. She's the prize. Now, I have to say, even though we can't superimpose our gender responses on this situation, it cannot have been easy to be in that situation. I don't see how a girl could possibly say, great, wonder who I'll get. She had an idea of what a family was. And she wanted a man that she'd admire as much as she admired her dad. And being entrusted to one of those guys that might be the one. Now, maybe she already liked Othniel. It's possible that she already had her eyes on him. But that would have been a complication if he hadn't been the one that led the group. So it was better that she not be attached to any of them. If she was to Othniel, then she, what we used to say, lucked out. It was good that it was him. But it's no indication that she had a particular eye to Othniel. So she was wonderful in that. And I would just like to say that we can say, oh, this was a different culture and they did things differently, as if women weren't women and they didn't care about who they married and they didn't want a husband that they could admire and trust and appreciate and that would protect her and love her and wouldn't just be a soldier off with the guys all the time, would care about her. Wouldn't she have some desire for that? Wouldn't there be something in her heart that would say, I hope I get a good one? Well, anyway, here she's bartered, and she amazingly takes it and embraces what God's done. Now, it could be, oh, great, it was Othniel. It could be, but we don't know it was. We know that what she did was she responded, and she received, and there's no trace of resentment or manipulation with regard to the situation. Even when she advises her husband, she's not manipulating him. It's on his side. This is good for us. Let's do it. So she's using her ingenuity, but not to get what she wants. She's not manipulating, getting him to decide something because she's got her private agenda. She has embraced the agenda of being this man's wife, and she's working for their good. I'd say she's a wonderful woman. I think she's amazing. I think she ranks with the one in Proverbs. Of course, you didn't think the one in Proverbs ever really existed anyway. How could anybody be that good? Come on. No woman is that good. Well, you feel that. Well, then she's not that good, I'm sure. But she's pretty good. And she shows qualities that are admirable. And she is a noble woman. Even though nobody remembers the great faith of Aksa, she's a good woman. And I would suggest that she's to be admired and appreciated. And she shows immediate support for her husband. She shows resourcefulness in urging him to a good course. She's willing to use a convenient opportunity to pursue what's best for him and for both, for all of them. And the whole attitude, the whole milieu of the situation is positive and straightforward. And how many relationships are there that are positive and straightforward? How many do you have? Relationships, positive and straightforward. Well, you have some maybe. But not every relationship you have with human beings, even family, is simply positive and straightforward. She's got a remarkable relationship with her dad and with her husband. And I think that's a wonderful example to us. And I think that pushes her up into the category of the wonderful woman at the end of Proverbs. Well, anyway, that's the woman, and I think she's worth looking at, and I think you can look back on that and see, did God give us enough to say those things? I think he did. I don't think I've got to spiritualizing yet. I think that's what God gave us in giving us this little cameo picture of an amazing woman. Well, look at the blessing that God gave. God moved Caleb to do more than the girl asked. The upper and the lower springs, whatever that means. I would think in a dry land where you are obviously, it's a generally a dry area, the whole area of the Middle East is dry, that even the upper springs would have been good, but the lower springs as well. So he gave her more than she probably thought she'd get. But she had a wonderful attitude in asking, and Caleb gave it to her. The upper and the lower springs is, I'm going to spiritualize when I get to that. But that's not now, that's later on, that's before we're done. The upper and the lower springs, so she got more than she even asked for, and it was easy as can be. It's something crucial. You need water in order to raise your family. She's got it. It's given to her. You ask for it, you get it. How many times will their livelihood, even their survival, be accomplished by those springs? And God just gives it to her. Of course, moving Caleb, do so. But God's just given it to her. It's wonderful. We see in this passage the goodness of God to direct the affairs of one girl into the path of blessing and to provide the most crucial need of her family. Well, we want to look briefly at Othniel, and then we want to look at something else in closing. Othniel. If ever you've been challenged to memorize the judges of Israel, you begin with Othniel. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Barak, Gideon, Abibalan, Tola, and Jair. I remembered it one time. I don't know if I got the last three. But if you've ever memorized the judges, that's a little thing. Memorize the judges of Israel. Well, you can do it. You start with Othniel. So when the people of God are in a desperate situation and they need deliverance, guess who's the first to help in this situation, in this category, in this group of leaders that were important to the survival of the country? Because the only survival was they had to be rescued again and again and again. That's how they survived. There are people that are like that. They only survive because they're rescued again and again and again. Well, here Israel only survived because it was rescued. And the first rescuer, after Caleb led and the people declined, Othniel was raised up. So he's the first of the judges. After Joshua and Caleb, the people of God established a pattern of falling away from God, getting into terrible trouble with the other nations, being given a judge to deliver them, and granting peace until they again strayed from God. And the first of these great judges was Othniel. And we know that he was a valiant young man because he won that battle. He was obviously valiant. We also know that he married well. That's what we've talked about during the time. And we might ask the question about him, was he the godly leader and champion he became because of the support and encouragement of Aksa? Or would he have been all that without Aksa? Well, we don't know. But we know that he was it with Aksa. And given the kind of person he was, I think that if we were to total up why he was what he was, we probably would find that Aksa had a very great deal to do with making him the man that he was. Why is a great man a great man? Because of the woman behind him. Always. Well, I better say almost always, because I'm sure some of us could think of some kind of exception. But basically, why is a great man a great man? Because of the woman behind him. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. That's an old-fashioned statement, and of course we disdain it now and say that women have become equal with men. You know what I always think of that when women become equal with men? Here are women. Here are men. And with all the struggle, women have managed to become equal with men. But leave them to themselves, they're back to where they are. They've always been superior to men. They've always been the ones that have moved in strength in everything that's been good. The real breakdown of our country is the breakdown of the woman in the country. They've been destroyed. And the influence they have to do so much good to a man has been diminished because they've been brought down to his level. I mean, that's a personal opinion. I can't document that. In fact, I'd find a lot of document against it. But I think that's what's happened with the whole movement that has brought about equality. It has been a tremendous come down for the woman. And sometimes, sadly, they've accepted it. When I look at Othniel, I don't think that he was a great man and would have been anyway. I think he was a great man because of Aksa and because she was the kind of woman she was behind that man. Now, is she known? Who remembers Aksa as the great woman of God? Nobody. And who's going to remember you in your labors? And often a woman will be there with the husband receiving all the accolades for all he accomplished. But she knows why he got there. And she just smiles. Well, that's been the case so often. Your own influences. Who was more of an influence in your life, your mother or your father? Sometimes the father has an effect. Sometimes he's the great example that draws you on. But who do you remember as the one who molded your life? It's your mother. Who molded the life of Timothy? His mother. Who molded the life of Moses? His mother. Who molded the life of Jesus? His mother. We know Jesus, that Mary was a godly woman filled with the scripture. We don't know very much about Joseph. There was a stability in the family, and Joseph was a help. But the great influence on that little child that made him the man of God, in the hand of God and in the purposes of God, made him the one who knew the scriptures, was his mother. She was the godly person. And that's the case. The one that affected your life the most was probably your mother. Now, it's possible that you had a mother that was not much and your dad was the great shining thing. But if your dad was what he was, and if he was as great as he was, he probably was so because of his wife. And I think that's the case here with Othniel. So I want to give Othniel a certain amount of credit, and I want to regard him as a hero and greatly used of God. But I would just, between you and me, in this particular context, like to suggest that he had a wonderful wife, and he probably was what he was because of her. And you can think through your own experience in your own life and who was the one that impacted your life in a way that you'll never get beyond completely. Probably it will go back to your mom. Wonderful if you got a great dad. Probably it'll go back to your mom. And I think that pattern is frequent enough in Scripture that you realize what a blessing it was. Timothy had a mother and a grandmother who loved Jesus, even though his dad didn't. And he became a great servant of God. Well, that's a wonderful thing that I think you see in Othniel's situation. Well, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, that's the passage that says, the things that are written beforehand are written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So all of these things are written for us to teach us, to give us hope. And here's the case where I think, just before we close, I'm going to spiritualize a little bit. I'm not going to take very long. But I'm going to think about my own life, and you can think about your own life. And I'm going to do this quickly because I've taken longer than I wanted to. So let me suggest these things. I may be in a situation I did not choose, and I may not much like how I got there. I can grumble and work against what God has done, or I can embrace God's will for me and try to make it work. I can use my own ingenuity to anticipate a need. I can work through the proper channels to make it happen. I can seize the opportunity that God opens. It's He who grants to me and in me a spring of living water. She was given the upper and the lower springs. And I am given the upper and the lower springs. The upper springs to pour out my heart in praise to God when I'm high. And the lower springs to meet my need and encourage me when I'm low. I think that was one thing that I just so liked about it. The upper and the lower springs. That's what I need. I need the upper and the lower springs. because I need the spring of living water that's in me that enables me at my height to glorify Christ and at my depth to drink from his fountain. And so God gives us the spring of the upper and the lower springs. Well, that's spiritualizing, of course. But don't think it's totally unwarranted. I do think that it's true, that Jesus is that. The upper springs when my heart is rejoicing, the lower springs when I'm low. God gives me both through my husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Relationship, you can't exactly apply it and say this is exegetically what God is saying. But I know it's through my husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I have these things. And God gives me these things through him. So in ways, at least this can make me think about the ways in which this has become reality for me through Jesus. And makes me want to be the way Axa was. I mean, I'm not a woman. But should I be content with where I am, even if I don't like the way I got there? Haven't you ever had a situation, you men, where you are someplace that you wouldn't have chosen and you didn't like the way you got there? Well, what do you do? Can you embrace that as from God, the way Axa did? And instead of working against the very people you're with because of resentment for being there, which you've seen people do that, no, she works to make it work. Could I be in a situation that I wouldn't necessarily choose for the reasons that I don't really approve of and work to make it work? Could I remain resourceful, not discouraged and bummed out, resourceful? How can I make this thing work? How can I bless this situation? How can I make it work well? It's not very good right now. How can I make it better? Couldn't we have such an attitude? Isn't that the kind of attitude that she had? How can I make this leadership that's over me work? Joseph was like that. Did he like being where he was? Did he like being thrown into the situation? But what did he do? He made it work for his boss. And it wasn't a boss always that he wanted to have by any means. And he wasn't in a situation he liked. But he made it work for his boss, and God rewarded him wonderfully. So some of those qualities we admire in Acts, so we see in Joseph, we really admire them here, there. Well, that's noticeable. We see that. That's very clear. Acts is over here, but she's doing the same thing. And I can look at what Axa did and say, that's where I need to be. I need to be like that. And will God give me? Will God bless me? Will God refresh me? Will he give me the upper and the lower springs? Can I embrace his will and make a go of it? Does he call me to resourcefulness? Does he open opportunities to obtain the provision of my needs? Will he give me favor in the eyes of those over me? Will he use my little life to display his kindness and generosity to bring glory to his name? Jesus Christ has always cared for his little people. And God can make us like Axa. Axa, we can compare her to somebody else. But men and women, we can look at those qualities and say, I need those qualities in order to praise the Lord Jesus Christ where I am today. And even at the risk of some spiritualizing at the end, I think that's a good message for us. So may the Lord bless it to our hearts. May he make us to appreciate Jesus Christ, his care for the little people. May we lay hold of him afresh tonight, and may we glory in his holy name. Let's pray. Our great God, we do thank you, and we praise you. And we thank you for this little person. We confess that we've read through this passage and quite jumped over Axa, not really seen any particular significance. People could jump over our lives quite easily and not see much. But thank you, Lord, that you're working in individuals in small ways to do great things. Who knows the ultimate result of this family's prosperity? The ultimate effect, Othniel was used to rescue your people. Lord, what an amazing thing. What will you use us for, Lord, in our families? Lord, help us to learn from this woman and to appreciate what she was. Be thankful for fathers who do certainly figure into this situation. Be thankful for families. Be thankful for the people of God. Bless us and encourage us tonight, and be with us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.